If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me please to Psalm chapter 27. I'd like to, with the help of the Lord, finish up tonight what I started this morning. Amen. And I'm just telling you, God's been good. Tonight, for the sake of time, we won't read the entire psalm again. But I'd like to pick up tonight down in verse number 7, and we'll recap this morning's message just a little bit for those that weren't here. In verse number 7, David said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." And he said, "Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help." How many could say that tonight? How many could say God's helped you to get where you are? Amen. And I tell you, I thank God for that. He said, "Thou hast been my help." See, I lost my place here. Wait just a minute. "Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Look at verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Pray with me, please. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to be back here at Bible Way, God, with your precious people. And Lord, I know tonight there are others that would be here if their health would permit it. I pray, God, you'd touch them. I realize tonight, Lord, there are those that, Lord, will never be back. They'll never be able to come back to church. Lord, I pray that somehow He, the Holy Spirit, would let them know, Lord, that they're in our hearts, that they're in our minds. As Brother Don mentioned this morning in Sunday school, that we might be sensitive to the precious Holy Spirit. As Lord, when a call may be in order, or a visit, or a card, Lord, we just know that if you lead us and you guide us, everything will be perfect. We just pray now, Father, that you'll bless us in the remainder of the message tonight. Help us to glean, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're preaching tonight, finishing up the message entitled, "In the Time of Trouble." You find that in verse number 5. David said, "In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." And tonight, what I want to do is just give you a little bit of a recap of this morning. In the time of trouble, trouble is something that's common. David told us here that he had a time of trouble. We know that God told David, the sword will never leave your house. And David was able to choose his sin, but he wasn't able to choose his consequences. I wonder how many times in David's life he said, "I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have given in to my flesh." I know one thing. Listen to me carefully. There have been times in my life I can honestly say, "I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have looked at that. I wish I hadn't have thought that." You say, "Pastor, I've never had that moment in my life." I'm glad for you. But I'm telling you tonight, listen, there are times, beloved, when we just need to be honest with God and be honest with one another. Amen. And I believe there were times in David's life when he was having trouble with his children, when he was having trouble with Saul, when he was having trouble in the nation and the rebellion raised up against him. I believe there were times when he just thought, "I wish I hadn't done that." I know there was times he wished he hadn't done what he did with Bathsheba, but there were times he wished he hadn't numbered the people. Amen. And 70,000 men died as a result of David doing that. God didn't want David's confidence to be in his army. He wanted his confidence to be in the Lord. Amen. And so we see David's conflict. There's war mentioned here. His enemies are mentioned over and over. And I wish we could get through life without conflict, but it's just not going to happen. Amen. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's going to be trouble along the way. But thank God there's somebody with us. Amen. Whatever trouble that we face, his name is Jesus. And then we looked at David's confidence, and this is where the thrust of the message was this morning. His confidence was in the right person in verse number 1. His confidence was a result of being in the right place. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This is Sunday night. I thank you for being back on Sunday night. I know, listen, you know what, I think next Sunday night, I'm not sure, I've seen a commercial, but you might not want to come next Sunday night. I think it's the Super Bowl. Is that right, next Sunday night? Amen. Whenever it is, you might not want to come that night. I'll just stay home too. How's that? Amen. We'll watch a football game. No, y'all crazy if you think I'm staying home. Amen. And I don't believe y'all will either, because God has put it in our hearts to want to be in his house, want to be together, want to hear from heaven, want to know what the Lord has for us. Amen. And so the right place, and then David's confidence produced the right kind of peace in his life. In verse number 5, he said, he'll hide me in his pavilion. And then it put him in the right position. It talked in verse number 5, said, he shall set me upon a rock. I'm glad tonight my life is not built on sinking sand, but my life is built on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it'll produce the right praise in our life. In verse number 6, David said, I'm going to sing. I'll sing praises unto the Lord. Have you ever just stopped for a moment and thought about heaven? I'm talking about getting to hear David sing, Brother Gary. I believe he can sing, don't you? A man after God's own heart, amen. I believe it'd be something to hear him light that harp up, amen, and sing in heaven, amen. And then we can join him, won't we, amen? Join right in there with him. And what a blessing. Blessing to these ladies. See these ladies just get together and harmonize together and sing together. What a blessing that is tonight. Now I want to get into the remainder of the message tonight. There's two things I want to call your attention to. The last two things in the message. Number 1 would be David's cry. And then number 2, David's courage. In the time of trouble, beloved, listen, if you and I will be honest, when trouble comes, that's some of the best crying out to God we'll ever do in our life. Amen. I'm telling you, when our hearts are broke, sometimes, beloved, that's when we do some of the best praying we've ever done in our life. When we do like David did and just throw ourselves at the mercy of God. Amen. The Bible said there in verse number 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me. I thank God we serve a merciful God, don't you? Let me show you a few things about this cry real hurriedly tonight. My voice is trying to give out on me. Pray for me. Number 1, this cry is personal. He said here, I want you to note in verse number 7, when I cry with my voice, he said, have mercy upon me and answer me. It's personal, amen? Listen to me tonight. If you don't get anything else out of this message, there ain't nobody else in the world can cry out to God like you can. It's personal. It's between you and your God, amen? Yes, we can pray one for another, and we ought to pray one for another. But I tell you, when it's your baby, or when it's your spouse, amen, it's personal. And I want you to know this, our God, he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's able to secure those that are going, that are tempted and going through any trial in this life, because he's already walked down that road, amen, and he already knows. Notice in verse number 8 here, I'm talking about it being personal. He said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Look at verse 9. Hide not thy face far from, there's the word me. It's personal. Put not thy servant. It's personal. Leave me not. It's personal. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. This cry unto the Lord is personal. Listen, I believe we ought to teach our children to pray. Amen. And teach them that God, beloved, listen, is hearing their prayer. Amen. And that they can have, we use this term, but I'm not sure if we understand the power that's in this term. A personal relationship with the God of heaven. Amen. Listen, mommy can have it. Daddy can have it. The children can have it. Mamaw can have it. Papaw can have it. And God wants us to know when we cry out to Him. You say, Pastor, how does He hear all those cries? Don't ask me. I just know He's God. Say amen. And I remember a time that people came in the altar and they were crying out to God. You can remember the old-fashioned churches where when people called on God, it was like there was 50 men in the altar preaching. Amen. Lifting up their voice and crying out to God. Woman said after church, said, I didn't understand the word they said. The old preacher said, honey, they wasn't talking to you. Amen. They were talking to the God of heaven. Say amen. I wasn't interested in somebody else. As somebody said, well, God's not deaf. I'll tell you this, He ain't nervous either. Amen. It don't bother Him when God's people cry aloud unto Him. It don't bother Him. Never been in the world. Say amen. I believe that. Oh, beloved, it's personal. You get on down there. He said, my father, my mother, forsake me. It's still personal. He will take me up. It's personal. Teach me in verse 11. It's personal. Deliver me in verse 12. It's personal. I had fainted. It's personal, beloved, in verse number 13. Secondly, tonight, David's cry is not only personal, but it's powerful. There's no substitute in the world for prayer. I said, listen to me. There's no substitute in the world for prayer. Prayer don't have to be long. Prayer don't have to be real complicated. Over and over in the Word of God, you'll find people saying, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Amen. But beloved, there is power in prayer. The Word of God said, when thou saidest, Lord, you said, seek my face. This is what David said, my heart said unto thee, thy face. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I believe this. Now listen to me carefully. Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I believe if we took an account, an honest account, of how much time we spent last week seeking His face and just went and just added those minutes or those hours and those minutes and those minutes and those hours, I believe we'd be ashamed of ourselves because we're so busy we don't have time to seek His face. But you know what happens when trouble comes? All of a sudden, honey, you ain't got time to do nothing else but seek His face. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that's the way it was in David's life. Listen, God kept him, beloved. I believe it's the way it was in Paul's life. This personal relationship was so powerful because it put them on their face before God, seeking the face of God. We need God to help us, beloved. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. We'll never have revival in our community, in our church. We'll never have revival in our country till God's people take some time to seek the face of God and get on our face like David and say, God, have mercy on us. We need your mercy and we need your power. It's powerful tonight. Look at with me, if you will, at Psalm 61 for just a moment. I hadn't looked at this in a long time, but God brought it back to my memory this afternoon. I had to look it up. The Bible said here in Psalm 61, I want to look here at verse number 1 and verse number 2. David said this. He said, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. I'm talking about powerful now. Watch this now. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. He said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Beloved, I want you to know Some people might think that you're wasting your time when you're crying out to God. Oh no, I don't believe you can spend your time in any better way than to call on God. Every one of us has got a friend or a loved one or a young'un. They're in trouble tonight. If they don't get help from the God of heaven, they're in trouble tonight. He said, well, Pastor, it's on them. I understand what you mean by that. But I tell you, it's on us to cry out unto the Lord. It's on us, Brother David, to say, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, get their attention. God, help my loved one not to die without God and leave this world unprepared. That's on us. David's prayer, his cry was personal. His cry was powerful. But I want to give you this. His cry is practical. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean it'll work. Look in verse number 11. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. I don't remember the specifics about what I'm going to teach you tonight or share with you tonight. It was overseas. It was one of the countries. I'm not sure if it was Africa or if it was somewhere in Asia. I don't remember the specifics, but I heard this or read it years ago. It was about a tribe that where God had visited them, and God had brought revival. And many, many, many were saved by the grace of God. And they all understood the importance of prayer. And they all understood that they need to have them a place to pray. And what was told or what I read was that there was a path that went up to that place. And everybody kept an eye not only on their own path, but on the path of others. Because, Brother David, they said when the weeds started growing up in that path, then they understood that they wasn't praying the way they should. They wasn't going to that place of prayer. Amen. And so the brush and the weeds begin to come over. You understand, beloved, if you go into the woods and there's a path that's well worn, that's what you're looking for if you're a deer hunter. Amen. You want to know where they're traveling day after day after day after day. And I tell you, there won't be any weeds in that path. But you say, Pastor, why did David, why is it practical? Because it works. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. You know where he'll find his way? In his feet. That's why that God told Martha and Mary. Martha said, Lord, don't you care? I'm cumbered about with much serving. Jesus said, but Mary hath chosen the good part because she sat at his feet and she heard his word. I'm telling you, somebody's got to work. Yes, but the best work comes from worship when we take time, amen, to sit at his feet tonight. His cry is practical. It'll work. You say, Pastor, what did you mean there with plain path? Let me tell you something tonight. Listen, if you don't hear anything else I say, hear what I'm going to say right here. A plain path. If you were, Brother Jim, I don't see him, but anyway, he's probably checking the property. But let me say this. I've heard this in Vietnam. Listen to me. You know where they put the booby traps? You think they put them in the plain path? Oh, no. You see it. You go right around it. What'd they do? They put it in that grassy path. They put it in those paths in the woods. Beloved, listen, where you could cover it over, where you could camouflage it. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? If God's people, listen to me, will walk in that path that he's laid out for us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank God the enemy cannot hide the booby traps. And we can go around them. We don't have to step in them and have our testimony destroyed by the enemy. We can see what old Slewfoot's up to. Amen. Deliver our family. Deliver our lives from that one, beloved, that seeks to destroy us and to destroy our fellowship with the God that we love. That plain path, it's well worn. So we've seen David's conflict. We've seen David's confidence. We've seen David's cry. I want to close tonight with this. I want you to see David's courage. I just... Thank God tonight. You know what we're going to need more of as time goes on? We're going to need more courage. Mom and Dad, you're going to need more courage. I'm going to make a statement tonight. Your children need a mom and dad. I believe there's too many, listen to me carefully, there's too many when they have to choose between being a mom and dad and having the courage to tell their children what's right. They would choose to just rather be a buddy than to be a mom or to be a dad. I'm going to tell you something right now. Y'all have caught on to this. At Sawyer, I love him. But I tell you what, if the day comes and I have to choose between being Sawyer's pepaw or being Sawyer's buddy, I'm going to be Sawyer's pepaw. How many believes that? Because I want Sawyer to make it. Amen. I want him to grow up one day and be a mighty soldier of the cross for the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's going to need somebody. Thank God he's got a mommy and he's got a daddy. Amen. That's willing, yes, to be his buddy at times. But if they have to choose, they're going to be mommy and they're going to be daddy. Amen. Y'all get a hold of what I just said. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. We have a responsibility to our children. We have a responsibility to our grandchildren. You know, I think the same goes for the children's ministries here at the church. I love the teenagers. Amen. They're precious to me. But I tell you, along the way, beloved, listen, they're going to have to be taught things. And somebody's going to have enough courage, amen, to stand up and teach them what thus saith the Lord. Say amen. Amen. Not maybe what they want to hear, but what we need to hear. And our God loves us enough to give it to us like that. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what the world says? If you'll show it to me, I'll believe you. You know what God says? If you'll believe me, I'll show it to you. It's just the opposite. Say amen. You remember when Martha and Mary, their brother had died. Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. You remember that story over there in John 11. And this is what Jesus told Martha. He said, Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Beloved, listen to me tonight. When we're talking about courage, there's three things I want to give you tonight. In verse number 8, you find that David is seeking the face of God. There's worship. In verse number 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God wants us to believe him. In verse number 14, God wants us to wait on him. We're living in an instant society. I want it, and I want it now. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, many prayers, I believe, will be answered in the lives of God's people from the other side. They'll already be home before they see the answer to their prayer down here on the earth. Now, once in a while, God will let us see an answer to prayer. Amen. And I thank God for that. But we need that courage to press on, to believe God, to see his goodness in the land of the living. You say, Pastor, what would you say about courage? I read something that I want to share with you tonight. And I think it's what we need. We need courage. We need courage in our pulpits. We need courage in our homes. We need courage on the job. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, beloved, we need some men that will just say, listen, we're going to stand for the flag and kneel at the cross. Amen. We're not going to kneel, beloved, listen, just because the woke outfit in this world says we're going to kneel. Oh, no, beloved. We'll kneel at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Listen to this. Several years ago, an enormous financial crisis, I wasn't aware of this, loomed in Europe. The very survival of the structure of the euro currency. I'll just go ahead and interject this. If you don't know we're in a financial crisis in our country, you got your head in the sand. I'm telling you, beloved, we're in trouble. And if not, the whole of Europe was at stake. All eyes were on the man, the head of the European Central Bank. Financial markets and currencies plunged all through the morning. And the only question on anyone's lips was, what will he say? His words would either cause an implosion or the reversion of the volatility. On the morning of July the 26th, 2012, He stood up. And when asked what he would do to protect the euro, he answered in three simple words. He said, whatever it takes. That's what he said. Whatever it takes. At that moment, in human terms, he spoke for the might of the major industrial countries of Europe. As soon as he spoke those words, the markets rallied, the immediate crisis was over, and the structure of the currency was secured. There's a challenge here for us when confronted with a world in need of the gospel of Jesus, with a world crying out in pain, with a world riven by inequality and poverty and need. How will we respond? Will we hunker down and ignore the outside world? Or will we be willing to say, whatever it takes? Jesus said if we'd lose our life, we'd find it. But he said if we save our life, we'll lose it. Watch this now. Whatever it takes to see our communities restored, our workplaces transformed, our world healed. Whatever it takes to see justice and righteousness roll on like a river. Whatever it takes to see our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors come to realize that they too are known, loved, and called by their Father in heaven. I thought that was a good example of courage. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Bob sent me a link this afternoon, my son-in-law. I'm glad he did. It helps to keep me informed. And the title of the link, now y'all listen to me. I believe God has blessed us beyond measure right here where we live. But I'm telling you, the chickens are coming home to roost. No longer is it just California. No longer is it just New York. No longer is it just Chicago. And I told Bob last night, I said, Bob, you don't think whatever you want to. I said, this is interesting that you sent this to me today. You see, it wasn't too long ago we had people that broke out of jail. You understand what I mean? They're loose. They couldn't find them. You can do whatever you want to do with what I'm about to say. But last night, I pulled up the corner of the sheet. This time of year, it's flannel. Thank God. It's warm. Amen. But I pulled it up, and then there's a topper on our mattress. And right there in the corner under my head is a .45. Now, I'm not talking about a bottle. Not a Colt 45 that way, amen. I'm talking about a Glock. The youngins years ago got me a light. And all I did, Brother David, was pointed it at the wall and made sure my light was charged. You say, Pastor, are you scared? Nope, I'm not scared. But I've got courage. They better stay on the outside. They better not come in after that precious woman over there. They're liable to be holier than thou. You get that after a while, amen? You say, Pastor, why did you... Listen to what I'm going to read you. Democrat-run tourist town sees a 200% surge in break-ins amid a violent crime spike. Anybody want to guess where the town is? You know where it is, David. You've read the article. Anybody else know where it is? Asheville. North Carolina. Y'all know how far that is from here? I don't know in miles, but you can be there an hour and 15 minutes, can't you? Amen. Probably take an hour and a half if you drove the speed limit. David said, right. Everybody needs a friend like David. Amen. The Asheville Police Chief, David Zack, told Fox News Digital last fall that his department is down 42%. I'm wondering where the Christians are in America that'll stand up at school Stand up in the church. Stand up in the community. Stand up on the job. Say, God, whatever it takes. I want my babies to be able to go to school without razor wire, without it looking like they're going to prison instead of going to... How many's with me tonight? I believe there's a God in heaven that heard the cry of David, and he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He'll hear our cry tonight. We need to take time. Break-ins in Asheville, North Carolina saw a 200% monthly surge in January amid a violent crime spike. In the Democrat-run tourist town that has hemorrhaged police officers in recent years, the Asheville Police Department, which serves a town of approximately 90,000 people, responded to 41 break-ins throughout 2022 and has already fielded 11 as of February the 1st this year. They're breaking into businesses, breaking into homes. I'll tell you tonight, beloved, listen, we need to be burdened about our country. I'm not ashamed of this tonight. And listen, if you're mad at me for saying Democrat run, just get mad at me. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, when you go soft on crime and hard on the police officer, nothing good comes of it. I don't care whose policy it is. Amen. When you go to making laws like go ahead and knock a window out of that store, just be sure you don't carry more than $900 worth of stuff out, you're sick in your head. If daddy caught me going in the store and carrying 9 cents out, he'd have straightened that out. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, our country's in trouble. And we need some of God's people. Say, God, help us. That's what David said. I believe the good prayer is, God, have mercy on us. Amen. And I believe God is the only one that can turn it around. The only one that can turn it around. May God help us tonight. David gives us some good, good words for when we find ourselves in a time of trouble. I believe we're living, Brother Junior, in a time of trouble. And I believe it's time to seek the Lord. Amen. I think we need to pray for Asheville. Let me just go ahead and say this tonight. You can get mad at me if you want to. But when you go to putting your stamp of approval on sin, the way Asheville is done, the way it's going on in Johnson City, you listen to me. You've opened the floodgate, honey. You've told God to take a hike. And you see what you got left. There's not a place in the world I'd rather live than right here where we live. May God help us, Brother Gary, take care of us. Help us not to be overrun with this wickedness. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's it going to take? I tell you, it's going to take some courage. It's going to take some people to stand. And having done all, to stand. How many's glad you come tonight?